Well, this week on the hot seat, we are speaking with the leader of Her Majesty's official loyal opposition. It is NDP leader and a former Premier, Rachel Notley. So on that note, since you held the office, Madam Premier, welcome back. Great to have you on again.
It's good to be here. Nice to talk to you.
All right, great. So first off, we usually in the hot seat, we usually like to get into a little bit of the fun questions first. So I know last time I chatted with you, Johnny Cash was just a little guy, but starting to grow. And at that point, you're telling me he still thought he was a lap dog, although he was getting quite big. Does he still think he's a lap dog?
Oh, my Lord. He is like almost 90 pounds. He absolutely believes he's a lap dog. So that's fun. Very cuddly, but also, you know, because of COVID, we've struggled to get him into regular obedience classes, so he's kind of out of control now. About half our house has been eaten away by him. And Tucker, our other dog, is just basically, he's just thrown his paws up in the air and he sits in the corner and he's like, this is your problem, people, not mine. Yeah.
Oh, that's adorable. And I remember you were telling me he was the original good boy. So how is Tucker holding up?
Well, you know, he's pretty good. I mean, he's getting up there. He's 13, and he's a little short-tempered with, you know, the 90 pounds of happy-go-lucky energy. But, you know, he's kind of come to terms with it, and now I think he actually quietly chuckles to himself as we watch, you know, piece of furniture after piece of furniture get, you know, digested by the favorite son. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is. It's never not interesting.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So obviously, Rachel, we now know that we're in the third wave of COVID, maybe a fourth. I don't know. I think I've lost count of how many waves we've had. But you've been clear that this government needs to take action. And we see you have an announcement maybe coming up later today on specific actions you're going to call the UCP government to take action on. But what are some things at least that you could think of right now that you could share with us that we could do as a province to get this under control once and for all?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think it's twofold. First of all, even though we know that it's hard on people, it's hard on their mental health, it's hard on their expectations, it's very hard on businesses, we need to follow the rules and we need the decision taken to bring in further restrictions was the right one. And it's, you know, it's possible that it may not be the last one. We may have to go further if you look at what's happening in other provinces. And that's hard. I know it's hard, but at the end of the day, it's also something we have to do because this virus is real. The variant is spreads even faster than the first round, and it impacts younger people and it impacts them more seriously. And so, you know, if you think of yourself for a moment, for instance, like when you find yourself getting frustrated by all this, you know, think of yourself for a minute as a parent and imagine getting the news that you know your 17-year-old kid is in the hospital with it. Then you'll suddenly, I hope you'll start to think about how important it is to try to keep each other safe, because that's really the kind of thing that we're dealing with right now. And so it's hard, but it's necessary. That being said, though, we also need to step up and provide support to our business owners and to the people that they employ, because this has been so hard on them, and we cannot allow people to fall through the economic cracks. And so that's what we'll be calling for today is a very ambitious round of supports to protect help these businesses that are being forced back into lockdown and also help the workers who are employed by them.
All right, definitely. And certainly 2 days later, I don't even think 2 days later since Jason Kenney made the announcement about the restrictions, I think now 17, or I think it's up to 17 UCP MLAs, so we're getting awfully close to a third of caucus that are saying, we don't agree with this. Well, at the same point, I guess devil's advocate will just say they're expressing their freedom of speech, but do you think this is dangerous?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, it is quite hypocritical for Jason Kenney to claim that they get to express their freedom of speech while at the same time he's running around hectoring Albertans and lecturing at Albertans about how they're not doing well enough, you know, complaining about frontline workers, many of whom are low income and racialized, you know, going to work together in vehicles or living in houses with too many other people. And then on the flip side saying, oh, but my MLAs get to exercise their free speech and go to Hawaii. You know, that's the kind of hypocrisy that is born in both arrogance and weakness. And the fact of the matter is this: the Premier and his cabinet ministers draw their authority to make decisions from the support of their caucus. So you don't get to have free speech in a case like this. These public health orders are probably the most relevant and singularly most important public policy decisions that a government has made in decades. And members of that government need to support it. And by undermining it, they're undermining the collective will to follow those rules. And you know what will happen is we will have more people get infected, more people get seriously ill, more people die. And so this is a profound failure of leadership on Jason Kenney's part. And I would say that it comes from both the arrogance that I just referenced and also an incredible level of weakness on his part. He's more interested in his own sort of political hide than he is in standing up for the people of Alberta and keeping them safe.
Yeah, fair enough. Also as well, I guess I'll do a little bit of thing. I'm actually, this afternoon, I'm getting my shot, so hopefully that will, thank you, I'm excited. I'm hopefully that will make a contribution to the cause, and I think that's one thing, even though I'm supposed to be objective, I won't be, I'll be unbiased about this, and I do encourage everybody as well to get the shot. So,
That's not objectivity. That's you know, everyone should get the shot. It's absolutely the right thing to do. As soon as you're eligible, you should get out there and do it. It is the primary solution to getting us out of this, no question. So good.
Exactly. Thank you. Also as well, we see that there's some good news, and that is the Canadian Energy Regulator thinks that our province is expected to lead Canada in new renewable energy projects. And how exciting is this news? And the government seems to be encouraged that it's all private money going into these, which is never a bad thing. But do you think that the government can play a role in pushing these renewable energy projects forward and strengthening Alberta's energy mix, which is something the Premier says is important?
Absolutely. And let me start by saying, I mean, it is great that it's private sector money that is now sort of coming organically into that sector. When we were first elected, Alberta was so far behind other jurisdictions because, if anything, we had multiple barriers to really promoting and engaging renewable energy investors. Under our leadership, we changed that, and we also put in a number of incentive programs. And often what happens when you incent the beginning of a certain industry, at a certain point, it sort of starts to build off of itself with less and less government support. That's the model that you always try to have in place. Now, that being said, even though we are leading the country, the question is, are we leading the country by enough? We were so far behind, and there is definitely room to transition jobs, to transition investment, to make up for what we know is a shortfall in the non-renewable sector. And in fact, the renewable sector can actually work together with the non-renewable sector in so many ways to maintain our ability to sell that oil and gas product while producing it in a more efficient way. And so I actually still think that even though we're leading the country, that shouldn't be good enough, because in fact, we can do more than that. We've led the country by 1,000% in non-renewable growth. Why not the same for renewable?
Yeah, fair enough. Also as well, Rachel, we see that the vaccine distribution has been among the top in Canada here, and we saw recently you suggested that doses should be administered 24/7, and that would be great to do, don't get me wrong, but do you think the province currently has the personnel on hand for that kind of effort?
Listen, I'd just like to see the province get up to speed with the promises that the Premier made about 3 weeks ago. We started out being one of the best in the country in terms of how we were delivering the vaccine. We're actually starting to fall behind now again. Of course, Jason Kenney, classic, let's blame Ottawa, yada, yada, yada. But in fact, every province is getting the same supply issues from Ottawa as Alberta. And so, you know, there was a point when Jason Kenney was promising, you know, 25,000 doses a day. That was back in mid-March, and he said we'd be there by the beginning of April. We're nowhere close to that yet. So we definitely need to ramp up our vaccine delivery. We need to make sure it's accessible to people all over the province. And you know, the faster we can get it out, the better. And, you know, certainly I think I would join with the UCP and all the citizens in being very interested in looking at all the different ways we can accelerate its delivery.
Yep, definitely. And also, as we know, can't have a chat, at least this week, without a discussion about the new draft curriculum. Uh-huh. And your education critic, Sarah Hoffman, was on last week. She is the most regular guest from your caucus coming on the show. She's one ahead of David and very proud of that, I have to say. and I guess I got to say, so at least in there, obviously, I guess I don't have hours. So I'm wondering, what are some of the biggest areas of concern that you have with the curriculum, and is there anything in there, at least a couple of positives maybe, that you found?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting. Every day there's more coming out about this curriculum, and it's really hard to go through the list in a short period of time that we have. Let me just say that I'm so glad that Sarah's able to spend as much time with you. I know she feels a really strong connection to Northern Alberta. She's born and raised there, and she's always happy to be able to do that. But, you know, the thing of it is this. Let me start from an overarching perspective.
Sure.
Our education system has historically been seen as one of the best in the world, and jurisdictions from around the world have looked to us for guidance. And I think that's really important. What's happening now is this curriculum is more and more turning Alberta into a laughingstock. And let's talk for a moment about what our education system is designed to do. One of the critical things, not the only, but one of the critical things that it's so important to contributing to is our economic growth. And now more than ever, that's what our focus needs to be. So what this curriculum is doing is it is going to impinge on actually helping our kids become the creative thinkers, the critical thinkers, the progressive thinkers who will succeed in a workplace because the curriculum is so out of date and so messed up. And then on top of it, it's going to serve as a barrier to our ability as a province to attract the diverse, well-educated young people that we've historically relied on to move to Alberta to drive our economic growth. So this curriculum stands to really undermine our economic diversification and our economic growth. Now, within that, there are also a number of really problematic things, and I guess the one that I'll pull out the most is that they've rejected the recommendations of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, in part because this part, the social studies curriculum, was written by somebody who has said blatantly racist things about Indigenous people in Canada, and he had no business having a pen anywhere close to that curriculum, and we've now seen more and more Indigenous leaders reject it. More to the point, we're seeing school boards across the province, I think we're up to 8 now,
yep,
say we're not even going to pilot it, and meanwhile, the education minister says, well, if you don't pilot, you don't get to give input to it, which is punitive and narrow-minded to the nth degree. So, you know, our public education system is so important to our kids who, you know, at the end of the day, if you're a parent or, you know, grandparent, uncle, aunt, these are some of the most important humans in your life, if not the most important. Mm-hmm. And it's important to our economic future. So we need to have Jason Kenney go back to the drawing board because our kids deserve the best. And what Jason Kenney has rolled out is a disaster. It's just a Frankensteinian mashup of ideological ideas put forward by Jason Kenney and a few of his weird friends sitting around a table. And we just don't need that here.
Yeah, fair enough. And I guess in saying that too is that the key word of the draft curriculum is, of course, draft. This is not the law of the land yet. And I'm going to assume that you're encouraging anybody with an opinion to get out there, write letters, and send as much feedback as they can, kind of like they did with the Eastern Slopes among the parks issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I will say, and probably Sarah said it to you when she was on last week, like, I have never seen the level of feedback that we have that we've seen in the last week on this curriculum. People are beyond angry about this, and the number of people that have already reached out to us is just like we're struggling to keep up with it, and it's not organized. It's absolutely organic, and so this government has to listen to Albertans. They're so out of step with what most parents are looking for their kids, and they need to listen to those parents and just as I say, pull it back and go back to the drawing board. And yeah, it is technically draft, but right now if they don't officially pull it back and really open it up to a much broader form of consultation, way too many of the dumb things that are included in it right now will last, and that's just not going to help our kids.
Fair enough. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and speak to the people up here in Peace and Mackenzie Country. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to chat with you too. Take care.
This is Rachel Notley. She is the leader of Her Majesty's Official Loyal Opposition, the NDP, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.